Holy Gospel according to St. Mark,
the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. I'll get that out. And she came and bowed at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast out the demon that was in her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair that the children's food be thrown to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child laying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee to the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private away from the crowd and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he signed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealous they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children up. I can tell Sunday school has started back up because the throng has returned. Good morning. Come on up. Calvin's in a welcoming mood. It's good. So who can tell me what this is? Sky, it's a phone. And you know, for some people in here, there was a function of a phone that you had to use something else to actually do that. But who can tell me what this part of the phone is? What is it, Abby?
A camera.
That's the camera part of the phone. Do you know how a camera works? How does a camera work?
It takes a picture.
Yeah, it takes a picture, but do you know how it does it? What do you think, Sky? Yeah, that's how it functions. But here's how it works. So there's a thing called a shutter. Inside of it, all cameras have it, even little tiny ones like this. They function with a little shutter, and what it does is it's closed in front of the part that you see. And when you push the button, really quick, faster than you can think, it goes boop and opens up. And when it opens up, it goes boop and it lets the light inside so it can see really quick what you're taking the picture of. And so what it does is it goes, "Ephphatha." Really fast it goes. And so some phones even have it where you can just hold your finger down and it just takes tons of pictures. So it just goes, "Ephphatha, Ephphatha, 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 Ephphatha." Really fast. Try that several times without saying something else horrible.
And so it takes a bunch of pictures and lets that light inside. And so in our story today, we hear in the second part in our gospel lesson, Jesus says to the man who can't hear and can't speak, Ephatha, which means to open up. And what it does is the second he says it, he can hear and he can speak. And I think Christ is saying that to us as well. Christ says this word Ephatha to us so that we will open up to the light of Christ in our life. And so every time you take a picture with your phone or your parents' phone, think about your phone saying to you, Ephatha, and how you're supposed to open up to the light of Christ as well. Amen. Go in peace. Calvin's on fire today. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Are we centered? Think about that question. Are we centered? This Thursday, I was with the church council as we were having the council meeting. And one of the items of business for the council was to begin to relook the vision statement and the mission statement and all of that stuff that goes in there. And one of the key words that really mattered to the folks on the council was that word centered. It sort of begins a litany of things, but it starts out with, we are centered in worship. And we were starting to think about how can we expand on that a little bit to really talk about what it means for us to be centered. So Jesus is trying to get away from just the madness and craziness of what's going on with this individual who is rabbi and teacher, healer and preacher, the Son of God. Because you know he's human too, right? And so he's trying to take a breather. And so he takes off and tries to hide in a house, but that doesn't really work out well. While sitting and eating, a woman finds him and begs him, "My daughter has a demon. There's brokenness." I mean, when we think about the term demon, let's think about brokenness. Because sometimes it's hard for us in our culture to get our head wrapped around that sense of demon or demonic possession. But let's think about there's something broken in her life. And says, "My daughter has a demon. She's broken. Lord, I need your help." And Jesus sort of puts her right back in the place. "Woman, you're a Gentile. What are you doing here? You know, I have to feed God's chosen people, the children of Israel. I don't have anything for the dogs like you." And very rapidly, the woman sort of reminds Jesus of his centeredness. "But even the dogs receive the scraps from the table, Lord." And Jesus instantly says, "You're right. This is for everybody." And instantly says, "It's what you have said that has done this. And so leave, go right now back to your daughter because the demon is gone. Her brokenness is healed. She is free." Jesus got reminded for whom and what he is centered. And that is the Father's will. And the Father's will not only for the chosen people of Israel, but for the whole entire world. Are we centered? So as I continued to think about this conversation in the church council, I kept on asking myself, are we centered? Especially as we begin and continue this process of putting together documents to call a new pastor. Are we centered? Are we centered in water and the word? Are we centered in this baptism for faith that binds us together in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ? Are we centered? Are we centered in this holy table where we commune in faith over and over again, restored in this faith that the Lord has given us, that the Holy Spirit inspires us in? Are we centered in this liturgical worship where the sacraments are surrounded by music and song, prayer and the word, all declaring our centeredness on the triune God? Are we centered? Are we centered? I personally think the answer to that question is yes. I think that these things are paramount to the life of the church that we live in. That baptism and the table, that our sense of worship around music and song and prayer, the word preached, is paramount to what we do. But then the next question is, are we centered? Are we centered on that triune God who sees and hears and gives value to the other? Value to the vulnerable. The one who says, I don't care if you're black or white. I don't care if you're homeless or wealthy. I don't care if you're gay or straight. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I don't care if you're a Muslim, Jew, or Christian, evangelical, Lutheran, liberal, whatever. I've got something for you as well. Are we centered? That might be a harder question to ask. It might be a harder question to answer. Because each of us comes with our own brokenness, right? I mean, each of us walks in the door every single Sunday with a different set of perceptions in the way that we see the world, the way that we understand the world, that we each walk in with our own demon, that we each walk in with our own brokenness, and that each of us, in that brokenness, dares to say to Christ, Lord, even I deserve the scraps from the table. Lord, even I deserve the scraps from the table, because I know that this table is abundant. That I know that this table is freeing, that I know that this table centers us in our God. And so are we centered? Are we centered? What do you think? What do you think would happen if a homeless man who had slept on the streets last night wandered into the doors of the sanctuary? What do you think would happen if an openly gay person walked in? What do you think would happen if a Muslim came in and sat down amongst us? What would happen if someone who didn't look like us or speak like us walked into our midst? Would we be centered? Would we be able to truly proclaim our centeredness in Christ? Brothers and sisters, I say to you today that we must be centered. We must continue to be centered. And as we move forward, we will continue to work on and look at all of the different ways at which we can be more and more centered in our Lord and Savior. How we can be more and more centered in the Father's goal of this gift being given and shown to everyone. How we, brothers and sisters, will hear and see and give this value inspired by the Holy Spirit to everyone. To everyone we engage with. Because when we came to the table and asked for the scraps, the Lord gave them and gave us even more. And so when the other comes, we must have that open table. We must be that voice that says, you being here, you saying these things, have made this so. So that our centeredness is in Christ, in the Father who sent him into the world, and in the Holy Spirit who inspires us day after day. Brothers and sisters, this is our centeredness. Amen.